Well, if you're able, please remain standing, and let's turn to Psalm 23 now and hear God's word. Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may be seated. We are taking just a short break from our walking through the book of Micah and to hear God's word in Psalm 23 for a couple reasons. One of them is that, as I mentioned at the beginning of this month, the theme of God as our shepherd is something that we were going to hear a lot of this month as we heard God's word in various parts of the scriptures. And we've seen that in Micah. Both his condemnation of the shepherds and his promise of this great king that would come to shepherd his people out of Bethlehem. We also have next week, as we go through John, the Gospel of John in our morning services, we'll come to John 10, which is the famous passage about Jesus as the good shepherd. And so I thought it might be nice to take a moment and hear Psalm 23, this most famous psalm, which begins this way: "The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd." I want to walk through this psalm with you in just a very simple way, considering its images, reflecting on the themes that God gives to us, that we might hear his word, that it might be impressed on our hearts, and no matter what your particular situation is as a sheep, no matter where you are at in your life, my prayer is that God's word would be a comfort and a joy for you to hear. First, I want you to notice what happens when God is your shepherd. What happens when this God, this one who gives his name to us, Yahweh, or it's pronounced Jehovah sometimes, this one who had revealed himself to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, what happens when he is the shepherd? He uses this language of shepherding to talk about what he does as he brings his people out of Egypt. The Bible talks about God as a shepherd as he watches over his people in the wilderness and takes care of them. David experiences that in a very personal way. And here are some of the things that happens when God is your shepherd, this particular God, the one true God. Excuse me. Well, the first thing David says is simply, "I shall not want." To want is to need something, to lack something in some way. And David says categorically, "I shall not want," not because perhaps he doesn't have desires, but he knows that everything is satisfied in the Lord. He will be taken care of. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray that the God would provide for us our daily bread, that he would forgive our sins. These are our most basic needs in body and soul. And we lean on the Lord, and we know that when we ask these things of him, we shall not want. some of those specifics David mentions, starting in verse 2, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." David describes the Lord as his shepherd and David as a sheep of the Lord, as this one who is cared for by the Lord, and he is taken into safe places. How often we find ourselves afraid. So often. I hope not right now at this moment for you, but throughout the course of our everyday lives, every day at some moment or another, we find ourselves on guard, being careful, watching out. And this is, of course, important to do in a world that is full of dangers. But when we know that we are led by the Lord, our souls can rest because he leads us in good places. He takes us in green pastures and beside still waters. What David is saying is that when we are in the Lord, we are safe. We are taken care of. He provides for our physical well-being. He provides for our physical needs as well. This leading beside still waters is an image to both of peace, but he has nourishment here, places where he can go. The physical care of David is also coupled with care for his soul. He restores my soul. I don't know about you, but even reading these words, he leads me beside still waters, he takes me and makes me lie down in green pastures, these words themselves are restorative to the soul. But the Lord works in all kinds of ways as he restores not only our bodies, but our souls as well. And this is defined in this last phrase where he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David's life with the Lord as his shepherd is defined not just by peace, but by the thing that always goes with peace, righteousness. You don't have peace in your heart where there is wickedness and sin, where your conscience is guilty and you're feeling ashamed and you know that you're doing foolish and evil things. There's no peace there. But David wants and sees in the Lord opportunity and even possession of the restoration of his soul. And so in that, he says that the Lord restores his soul. And part of that is because he is led in paths of righteousness. The paths of righteousness in the Bible are described as the safe places. Maybe narrow, but safe and secure. This is where the Lord leads us. And he does it for his name's sake. He knows that his Lord is not trusting in another Lord. David knows that his God is not subservient to some other God. That David is taken care of by the Almighty, the All-True, the All-Powerful God. And that leads him to say what he says in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So if you read the first three verses and you start asking yourself, David doesn't belong in my reality. David doesn't seem to actually have his feet on the ground in the world that I live in. Still waters, green pastures, this all sounds very nice. But I feel like I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, to be extreme. But of course, David has that in mind as well, too. His view of his life in the Lord is not a Pollyanna kind of view of life. David is not ignoring the difficulties around him. For example, if you go back just to Psalm 22, you find these famous words. Verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me and the words of my groaning? Go down to verse 12, many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. And it goes on. David's a realist. David is able to look at his situations, look at the things that he faces in this life, and be very serious about them. He doesn't just put on rose-colored glasses and ignore the truths of the world around him. But what David does put on are glasses through which he sees the world according to God's eyes, in which he can see the dogs that surround him, the people that are pursuing him. And these are real-life events, too. You remember that the king of Israel had David at many times on the run. That David was literally in the wilderness fleeing for his life. Pursued by a strong man with strong men surrounding him. And then Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So how does David hold these two things together? How can he be at such peace even while he's in such turmoil? Even while he's crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can he also say, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want? Because God is with him. A God that he cannot always see. A God that he has to rely on based on his promises and the means that God uses in his life. David knows that even though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he is going to be okay. He is not going to fear because God is with him. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is a reminder to us that the Lord, though he is invisible, though we cannot see him, he is at work. And he does so through means. Maybe a friend who comes alongside of you. Maybe a sermon that reminds you of the truth about your king. Maybe it's some other thing that happens in your life. God using these various means to come to us and guide us and watch over us and protect us. Have you ever thought about how much you've been protected and you didn't even know it? Have you ever thought about how many times you've avoided total disaster and weren't even aware of it? Every now and then, I think we do get a taste of this. We realize, you know, sort of after the fact, how close we were to danger. And we go, wow, the Lord was protecting me. The Lord was watching over me. How many times do we not ever even know it? How many times do we receive our daily bread on our table and forget that it was God who brought it there? Or not realize all that went into that process. How could we ever realize fully what goes into all of the things which God is doing simultaneously in the world to take care of his people? When we think of all of those things, brothers and sisters, they can bring us comfort. Because God is sovereign and God is strong. God watches over those whom he loves. And then we have in verse 5, kind of an image switch. No longer are we a sheep in the field, but we're sitting at a table. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Here the image switches to that of a banquet, where David is the honored guest, or even the chief person at this meal. No longer is he in a dark valley, being surrounded by evil people seeking to destroy him, seeking to take his life. But there he is in the presence of his enemies, not afraid, but with his God anointing him with oil at this great table. This is, in a way, God is mocking the enemies of David as he anoints this king of his. The enemies can do nothing except stand and watch the Lord blessing David, his servant. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. David, you might remember, is described himself as a shepherd of God's people. Psalm 78, 70 through 72 says, "He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with a skillful hand." So you see what the psalm says there. It describes David himself as an under-shepherd of the Lord, doing the very things for God's people that God is doing for him here. If it's for a similar reason that the Lord is so angry with his shepherds, his under-shepherds who do harm to his people, those who have been blessed with the goodness of the Lord and then devour the sheep, harm the sheep, fail to protect the sheep, these are the evil ones. But David is the great shepherd of the Lord. He is the great king of the Lord. And though at certain moments he finds himself in the valley of the shadow of death, he knows that ultimately he will sit at the table of the Lord, being anointed by the Lord and ruling with power and with glory. This psalm then, in God's shepherding of David, then reminds us of David's shepherding as well. And those two things, with this human king over God's people and God over his people, those two things come together in Christ himself, where the Son of David and the Son of God, fully human and fully man, comes to be the good shepherd, as we'll consider in John 10 next week in our morning service. Jesus, the good shepherd, who took those words from Psalm 22 on his own lips, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who also felt overpowered, who also was overpowered, and in fact even died, and yet nevertheless was victorious over his enemies, over sin, over death. The enemies of the Son of David, the enemies of the Son of God, wrote on the cross, "King of Kings," is a great mockery. But of course, we know that when Jesus died on the cross, he indeed was lifted up as a conquering king, a truth that was vindicated when he ascended into heaven as the risen Lamb of God. Christ walked through the valley of shadow of death, and he did to death itself. And you know, when Jesus did that, he did it for us. We were with him in those moments. We who believe on him and have our life in him, the scriptures say we died with him. We were buried with him, Paul says in Romans 6, and we came to life with him. This means that as we go forward in this world, we can see ourselves too, seated at that table, anointed with the oil of the Lord. Even the Spirit of the Lord that anointed Christ also anoints us. Not because we are human kings over Israel. Christ is that. Not because we are Christ, but because we are in him. He is our head and we are his body, and what flows down over the head flows down over us. We stand, as Paul says, more than conquerors, anointed in God, safe and secure. And so if David could say in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, you can too. As those who are in Christ, as those who are in the great Son of God, this great anointed King whom the enemies of the Lord try to break the bonds apart, as Psalm 2 says, but cannot. You are safe and secure in him. If you are in Christ and have put your faith in him who walked through the valley of the shadow of death for you, you too will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's prayer is your prayer. David's safety is your safety, because David's God is your God.